Fred Film Radio, San Sebastian Film Festival, Spain.
Fred Film Radio, I'm David Martos. This is the 67th edition of San Sebastian Film Festival. We're here with François Girard, the director of The Song of Names. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
How does it feel closing this big festival? I mean, you've been here before, but how does it feel?
You know what? It's my first time at the festival. I came briefly to San Sebastian, so I'm pretty much discovering the city and the festival. But it's probably one of the best reputation. Everybody loves coming here. Everybody wants to come here, and I think it's great to be part of it.
Yeah, there are festivals that are more important in the circuit, but this one is beautiful, and
yeah,
that wins. So The Song of Names, I would say it's a film about memory.
Yeah.
About forgiving. Why this film? Why this idea?
Well, first of all, it comes from a book. Norman Lebrecht is a Jewish scholar and a music scholar and wrote this story that's very poignant. It takes a very interesting angle on a page of history. But you're right to say that the film is about memory. I think one reason why I made this movie and I got interested, the main reason is that I think we live in a world that is sick, deeply sick with amnesia. I think where technology and our little phones and our little screens brought us into the captivity of the present time. I think we live more than ever, prisoners of the present. And film is a great antidote, I think. Movies are a great antidote, like other mediums too, but literature, to escape the present, look back at the past or face the future. I think this 50% of the people younger than 30 years old don't even know the word Holocaust. Mm-hmm. So you're like right there faced with a pretty grim vision of how history got digested, and if we can't remember, then we're most likely to repeat horrible mistakes. And so I think that would be the main purpose of this movie for me and my mission in it.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you mentioned this kind of technological amnesia, because every year more and more films and more TV series are produced, and you're contributing to that. I mean, we are like with this flood of content these years.
Yeah, yes, but we're talking two separate things here, where our daily life, besides screening at home or in the theaters, I think our daily life is dictated by the small screen, by the computers, by our communications, our text messages and our phone calls and emails. And we're all glued to that machine that drags us into a very narrow vision of the world, into the present time. I think there's great power in technology, but I think we have to... And our relationship to the future might be even more critical. I think, we're now, like, being told by the young ones, like, look in the future, stop looking into the present. Like, I think our future needs attention, and we need to take the time, take the space, step back, and think about future. And looking in the future, I think the best way to enrich that or enlighten that is to get a sense of the past.
Mm-hmm. One of the main challenges of your film, I would say, is reflecting the life of the protagonists in several moments of their life, of time. Why did you decide to do it the way you did? It's a big decision, like selecting big actors like Tim and Clive only for one part of the life, although they are present. Tim is present in the whole film. Why these decisions?
Well, it's not a decision. It's that was implied into the story. Like, you have two characters that we follow from 10 years old to 55, which is my age. And then necessarily, like, you will have to have a child, a young man and an older man, like, in both parts. So, like, it's not me deciding that. It's actually, like, you're right to point it out. But the first thing I saw when I read the script... is that I knew that this would be my biggest challenge, and right from the top, I started working on that, changed the script to make it work the way it works right now, like create separation between the young ones. So in the script, at the script stage, there was a lot of attention to it, and then casting was like a incredible puzzle, but very interesting. Like I was drawn into it, and then how do you create two trios and three pairs? How do you create chemistry between the two young ones and Clive and Tim, and how do you create vertical continuity? And that was like a very delicate operation. And then once you have the actors, how you work. We had sessions with the three, and like most of those sessions were talking but sharing, because they're not going to work together. They're not going to be on set together. They're all playing in separate scenes. I have a number of sessions with the three Davidals and the three Martins where the actors would share with me the vision of the character and discuss. And it was very interesting to see the very young ones, like Luke Doyle's never played in a movie, but would actually take his place in that discussion and explain to Clive his vision of the part. So it was very rich. And I see now that, like, we were in Toronto, I had almost all of them, and the three Martins have created a bond, like they become
brothers.
They become a family, and it's wonderful. So like I've worked 2 years to create that family. Like once you finally see them together, like holding each other, like it's a great feeling.
I would like you to go to comment on your collaboration with Tim Roth. I don't know if he was particularly moved by this story, and why did you choose him, and how was your work together?
Tim, like you should ask him why he took the part, because I'm not going to.
I will this afternoon.
I'm not going to answer, but like Tim was the I think one of the great things that happened to this story. The character that he plays is on paper like could either be dull or syrupy. It could go many different ways. I think Tim's intelligence and sharpness. Tim, even when Tim does nothing, you see in his eyes that the brain is spinning. And one of the great things he does, and I shared that with him, like his listening moments are always captivating. So I think Tim brought to the character exactly what it needed. Needed edge and sharp edge. Tim was also a great antidote to the potential of syrupy. So there's no sugar with them, and that's exactly how I saw the part, and it was great in that sense.
Now that you talk about the acting process, what kind of director are you? I mean, are you a director on the set, I mean, that talks a lot to the actors, that gives notes, or you remain silent and behind the monitor, for example?
I have no recipe. Like I'm trying to find out what the actors need.
And every actor?
Yeah, I think there's no recipe, there's no method. I am myself. I see the world a certain way, and I express myself a certain way, and I've got my ideas. So yes, I'm probably different from any other director, but I consider that I should, like, I grew that idea. My only method is to not have any method and to come fresh to every actor and see what they need. Some need intellectual exchange, some needs mark on the floor, some needs a space, some needs support, some needs to be challenged, some needs to be emotionally stimulated. So I think, and it's the same thing at the opera, it's the same thing in every medium, like my directing with performers is like first to understand what they need, and working with Tim and Clive is a completely different process, and because they're very different artists, and so that's my answer.
And my final question would be about music. You have this musical background in your films, and now you've seen all of your films with an audience, and maybe you have been able to check if music, as I think we believe, is a powerful vehicle for carrying emotions to people.
Well, music is, it's probably more evident in my work, but any filmmaker you're going to meet in this festival will tell you the same thing. It's the most powerful language. Doesn't need any subtitles, travels through cultures, doesn't need explanation. It talks to the heart, like, deeper than any other language. So I think this is why we're all obsessed with it. And I think it's true for all filmmakers. To see it with an audience, in a film like this, like there's probably, like, music takes a bigger part as a vehicle. It's not about music, but the vehicle, as the title says it, and the pivotal art, like the turning point of the movie happens in music. So, yes, to see it with an audience is interesting at that level. Many other levels, also, like, it's always the same thing. My job as the director is to be the audience before the audience shows up. So an actor acts, and then I'm there, sitting in the middle of a theater, and you have to abstract everything and be there. And there's a day where your job is done, where your role has ended, and you have to pass it on to the audience. And I'm going to have another experience like this tonight with the in San Sebastian. I'm very grateful to be here.
Good luck with that.
Yep.
Thank you very much, François Girard, for the interview. Thank you. Pleasure.
Very good.
I'm David Martos. This is an interview for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.